Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, welcome to Tantra Talk on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring every form of relationship and sexual expression into the light. I'm Fiona Fitzherbert, and your amazing host, Rundi Duffany, is coming to you live right about now.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tantra Talk, where we celebrate every form of a relationship and sexual expression. Tonight's guest is Mercedes Kirkell, who is the author of Mary Magdalene Beckons, Join the River of Love, and is also a Tantra teacher. And I don't know a whole lot about her, so it will be a surprise for me, just as it will be for you. The intention for creating this radio show is threefold. First, to implement our vision that love of and devotion to God and a sacred relationship are one and the same and a natural byproduct of each other, and that the mainstream world is finally ready to merge the two. Two, to utilize this forum to promote our vision and expand global awareness on the numerous benefits of Tantra Yoga as a spiritual practice. And three, to bring every form of relationship and sexual expression into the light, thus taking away some of the stigma and judgment and creating room for acceptance. For once there is acceptance, there is room for appreciation and so forth. Finally, the primary objective of the show is to encourage people to think out of the box, to hear different perspectives, and to question every area of their lives, because in our opinion, all questioning and all seeking ultimately leads to a relationship with Spirit. My name is Rundi Duffing, and I'm your host this evening. If you would like to contact me, have a question for the show, would like to be on the show, have a guest recommendation for the show, please visit devotionaltantra.com. That is a website, devotionaltantra.com. And if you would like to join the Devotional Tantra spiritual community, please look for us on Facebook. The website again is devotionaltantra.com. And the Devotional Tantra spiritual community can be found on Facebook. Okay, made it through that. I don't know anything about Mercedes Kirkell, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. I just know that she has a profound, this is the second, we also had Ayana Mojica several weeks ago, who was also very connected to Mary Magdalene. Excuse me. I don't know if they channel Mary Magdalene, if it's an archetypal connection, what exactly it is, but we'll find out. And she is out of New Mexico, I believe. And let's see what's going on. Today is Sunday, July 22nd, so it's a master day. And it's a beautiful day here in Long Beach. And let's see what else is new. Of course, in America, there's a lot of tragedy with the shootings in Colorado, so our prayers are out to all the families. And, you know, these senseless killings are just amazing. People just walk in. I mean, it's one thing to be unhappy, but, you know, this guy apparently, I don't know what the recent statistics are, but he shot 70 people. And I know he killed at least 12. So, you know, you just go to a movie and just like that. But then again, the other side of it is the divine plan. You know, if we live hundreds, thousands of lifetimes, you know, then every life is a blink of the eye. So it's hard to really fathom. I guess these are all questions, you know, hopefully we'll remember, you know, when we go to, you know, to the next place after this life. Although most likely not, because these are human, you know, human concerns. And, you know, I think we go back to spirit. I think once we're, that's why I don't think anybody's ever come back or really connected, because, you know, we go back to spirit. Again, as human beings, we want to know. We want to, you know, do this and that. We have to, what is the meaning? What is all this? So, you know, we spend all our time trying to figure it out. And, you know, these are answers we're never going to, or excuse me, questions we're never going to know the answers to. Apparently this man, Colorado, was in such pain, he needed to, you know, project his rage in a really prolific way. So, okay, here is Miss Kirkell, without further ado. Hello, Mercedes, and welcome to Tantra Talk.
Hello, Randy. Thanks for having me.
And am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Mercedes Kirkell?
It's actually Mercedes Kirkell.
Kirkell, Mercedes Kirkell. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I am doing very well. Today is a special day for me because it's the day that's celebrated as Mary Magdalene's Feast Day. And I had a celebration at my home with people gathering and joining me and celebrating Mary Magdalene, so I'm very happy.
Now, when you say feast day, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's actually been announced by the Catholic Church that this is a day celebrating Mary Magdalene, and it was part of their retraction that she's not any longer considered a prostitute, and she's been up-leveled to the in the Catholic Church to the level of saint. And so now she's Saint Mary Magdalene, and she's celebrated. But supposedly, this has been going on for centuries, long before the Catholic Church decided that they would acknowledge it. And it was sort of a, you know, grassroots kind of thing. It was a people's day for people who loved Mary Magdalene.
Huh. Well, thank you for explaining that. But before we get into that, I know you have a profound connection, and I did mention your book before you came on, and we'll mention it again. But if you want to share a little bit about your background and what kind of led you to this path, because it seems to be a lot of people are connecting with Mary Magdalene these days. And I just wonder what led you to this.
I think that's very true. Yeah, a lot of people are connecting to Mary Magdalene, and she is coming through to a lot of people. A lot of people are channeling her, writing about her. It's a whole groundswell. And I don't think it's any accident. I think that this is the time that we're in that's very much about the divine feminine coming forth, and she is a leader in this and helping us tremendously, is my point of view. So for me, it's a long story, and the short version is that I was living in Hawaii, where I had been living for 10 years, and I got a message that I was supposed to leave the Big Island. And this is something that's happened to me my whole life, where I get messages. But I never knew when I would get a message. It was always a spontaneous thing, and didn't happen that often. And this was probably the biggest thing that had ever been, you know, asked of me, was to leave my home, where I was very happy and thought that I was going to be living there the rest of my life. But I had enough experience from receiving messages of seeing that whenever I followed them, they always worked out far better than anything I could have created or was in the process of doing on my own. And so I'd learned to trust them. So I decided to follow this message. And that was in the fall of 2009. And I took a few months to complete things, and then in the spring of 2010, I left the Big Island. And I didn't know where I was supposed to go. And so I came to the mainland and visited my family and attended to various things and with my family. And finally, in the summer of 2010, I drew a series of events. I was guided to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And immediately when I got here, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. There were signs all over the place, and it was like, you know, seeing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It was just totally calling mm-hmm. out to me. So I settled in here, and within days of arriving, Mary Magdalene started coming to me every morning and giving me a message, an extensive message. And the first time that it happened, I was actually meditating, and I felt this presence that was very clear, very strong, and I knew it wasn't me. It was something outside of me, and it felt like it was especially around my throat, and like it was stuck at my throat, and I had the feeling that I was blocking something from coming through. So I just put all my intention on releasing whatever in me was blocking whatever it was that wanted to come through, and then a voice started speaking through me, and this was a new experience to me. My messages in the past were always inner knowings. I'd never had a voice start speaking through me. And I knew immediately that it was Mary Magdalene. That was an inner knowing that was communicated to me. And I got this incredible message that came through. And then she finished, and I was sitting there just kind of in awe and blissed out. And then all of a sudden, I had the thought, I'm not going to remember this. And I didn't hesitate for a moment. I just immediately asked her if she would give me the message again. And I'm a really fast typist, and I wanted to type it into my computer so I could have it. And I got yes, that she would do that. And I went and got my computer, and she gave me the entire message verbatim again. And not only did that allow me to record the message, but it validated the whole experience for me, because I couldn't have recreated that message on my own, word for word. And the fact that she did that was very profound for me and showed me that this was real, what was happening. And so she continued to come to me over the course of a month. She came 25 times and gave me 25 messages. And made it clear that this was a book she was transmitting. And somewhere in the process of receiving the messages, she clarified more that she wanted me to write commentary after each of the messages in the book to help explain them and also to tell my stories so that people would understand more what this means in real life and how to apply this in our lives. So that's what I did, and that became the book, Mary Magdalene Beckons.
You know, I love the way you explain it, because I think there are a lot of things like this happening, and, you know, you're a great ambassador because you sound like a very humble lady, and you don't, you know, try to make it about, like, you know, you're so special, you got this message, but it just happened for you. And I think that spirit is, you know, conveying a lot of messages like this, and anyways, you really, the way you spoke it really substantiates it, and I think gives it a, you know, credibility. So that's pretty amazing. And I'm just curious if you thought about it, why she needed you to be in Santa Fe as opposed to the Big Island.
Well, one of the reasons is because the Big Island is actually kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the access to resources that you have at a place like Santa Fe. And I've had a lot of support
right.
here for writing the book and learning how to be an author and how to publish. I self-published. And I think that was one of the big reasons.
And Santa Fe is quite magical in its own right. So
very magical. And I have been so supported here.
Yeah.
It's unique in some ways, I think, because when I tell people that I'm channeling Mary Magdalene, no one blinks. It's just
right.
sort of like saying, you know, you have an 8-to-5 job here. And that's been very helpful for me, because I was very nervous about this and doubtful of myself. And people have really supported me a lot.
Well, it sounds right up your alley, because I think Santa Fe is pretty much spiritual people and creative people, right? A lot of painters and artists.
Very much so. And a lot
so,
of authors, too, actually.
Really? Well, I know
mm-hmm.
the desert energy. Carlos Castaneda wrote a lot about it, you know, that I guess some people describe it as kind of in between both dimensions or something.
Interesting. Yes, I think there's something to that.
So in your book, you Mary Magdalene talks about her relationship to Tantra. So before we get into that, what is your relationship to Tantra, and how did you get into it?
Well, my relationship to Tantra was very spiritually based from a very young age. My earliest memory is being 8 years old and knowing that there had to be more to life than this. That life as it appeared was not the whole story. And I started my spiritual quest at a very young age and pretty much have continued it all my life. And in my early 20s, I became involved with a spiritual teacher who I related to as a guru. And I now consider that spiritual teacher was a tantric teacher. And I was with him for 17 years and then went on to be with a second teacher who I think also was a tantric teacher. And for me, that was the foundation of coming into Tantra. And while there were sexuality practices that were a part of the teaching that I was involved in, that is not the reason why I consider them tantric teachers. The reason that I consider them that they were tantric, you know, spiritual realizers, is because they taught the union of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And that's really my definition of Tantra. And so that was my initial, in this lifetime, that was my initial interaction with Tantra. It was very spiritually based. Mm-hmm. And with my second teacher, I went through a very profound awakening, which for me was really the fulfillment of what I was looking for all those years in that spiritual quest. And so after that, I started turning to other things, and at one point I got introduced to the Tantra community in Northern California, and I often say it was through the back door because I didn't have the intention of learning about Tantra or getting involved with the Tantra community. I was taking a communication workshop that was being offered by a Tantra teacher, and as a result of that workshop, I met the teacher, and she offered me a job, which I accepted working for her, and then later she offered would I like to come live with her in her home, because she had rooms that she shared with the people, and I did that, and before I knew it, I was suddenly in the center of the Tantra community in Northern California, which probably a lot of people would love to have that opportunity, and it just fell in my lap. I wasn't trying to make it happen. And I was getting introduced to all the big-name Tantra teachers and going to all the gatherings. And pretty soon, people started inviting me to come to their workshops, and then people started inviting me to assist at their workshops and to co-lead with them. And what I discovered, which was a complete surprise to me, was that I knew more about Tantra than most of what I was experiencing being taught by these various people. Mm-hmm. And this was really confusing to me. I didn't understand why, but I definitely saw that that was the case. And I started to understand that I really knew a lot about Tantra, which I had never really thought anything about. It was just, you know, to me it was just natural, and I thought everybody knew what I knew. And I suddenly started to realize that wasn't the case. And what started to become clear to me was that I learned about Tantra in past lifetimes, that what I knew about Tantra and what I was remembering even more through having this contact with these teachers and workshops and things, that I was remembering. It was coming to me directly through past life memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to have little glimpses. I didn't get the whole picture, but I started to, you know, kind of get the corners of what these memories were. And I saw that in different lifetimes I had served in different functions, but they'd all been somehow involved with the spiritual, tantric structures of those times, which were mostly temple structures, and that I was a priestess in the temples. and that was how I had been trained, how I had been practiced. I was a teacher within the temples until I had taught other priestesses, and that was how I had that was how this information came to me.
That's very interesting. I mean, you just shared so much. First of all, I absolutely agree with you 100% that Tantra is the union of the masculine and feminine, the integration, and I think why another reason is you just inherently knew that, and you sound like you're very guided, and you also sound very bhakti or very devotional to me, and
that's true.
Yeah, thus anything you approach is going to have be spiritually based, and yeah, Americans just don't get it. I mean, Tantra is a spiritual practice. It's not all about, great sex is a byproduct of it, but that's a very small piece. So it's really wonderful for you to hear you say all that. I'm just amazed that you just have access to all these guides, and this your life just seems to be just really guided for you. It's like you really seem to be held by God or by spirit.
I feel that too, and I'm extremely grateful for it. And again, it's one of those things that for so long I just assumed everyone had that, everyone was like that. And I've come to realize that that's not the case. When I got this message in Hawaii and telling me it was time to leave the Big Island, and I followed it, so many people have told me, when I've told them about that, their response has been, "You're incredibly brave to do that." And that always kind of would stop me, because I don't feel brave. It just seems natural to me that you get messages and you follow them. And if you just look at the history, you know, they always work out well, so why wouldn't you follow them? But I realized that that's not the case for a lot of people.
Well, now, Mercedes, how was it a conflict for you being so devotional and having these memories of being a sexual priestess? Because obviously, you know, often the priestesses would make love with the soldiers, coming back from war to purge them of their, you know, their pain and their suffering before they would go back to their families in these kind of scenarios. So did you get involved? Did you become a sexual healer or anything like that?
I have never really felt like sexual healing was my path. I have done sexual healing, and again, it's come to me very naturally and very spontaneously. I've never studied it, but I definitely had different things happen where I have done sexual healing with people. But I've never really felt like that was my main path. I've always felt like I was a teacher, and it was for me about that. Over time, I really felt like my life purpose was to bring the ancient teachings about sacred sexuality into the world. And I felt very confused how to do that. And I went through a period of time where I was really struggling with it. I was kind of beating myself up because I felt like I should be doing this, and I just didn't know how. And because in the past, there was a whole cultural support for it, past lifetimes, where there was the temple structure and it was understood. And my recollection is that, yes, it was a healing that was done for, you know, men coming home from wars, but it was much, much more than that. It was a direct way that people could contact spirit in a very profound way, similar to the way that people go to church now, is because you have a depth of connection with spirit, hopefully, that is special, that you value, and that helps you incarnate that all the time in your life. And it was the same thing back then, so it wasn't limited to only those kinds of situations. But now there wasn't the temple, and what's more, there wasn't that understanding of the role of a sexual priestess or sacred sexuality altogether, and I was very confused what to do with this. And I did start teaching sacred sexuality workshops, tantra workshops. They were very successful. I got wonderful feedback from people, even people who told me they had taken a lot of workshops and were very experienced, told me they were learning things, you know, through my workshop they hadn't heard before, and that were very valuable. But I didn't feel yet, like I was on my purpose. Mm-hmm. Still didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. So I was still searching. And finally, what happened is one of my friends lent me a book, and it was a book about Mary Magdalene that had been written by Tom Kenyon, a man I very much respect, who channels, and Mary Magdalene came through him and gave him a book, and in it she's talking about that she was a priestess of Isis, and she was trained in the high arts of the sex magic of Isis, which was the tantra practice, the spiritual, the sacred sexuality, spirituality practice in ancient Egypt. And that that she practiced this with Jesus, who she referred to as Yeshua, mm-hmm. his ancient name, and that that was part of their, a very significant part of their spiritual work together, because it's mm-hmm. what allowed him to transform himself fully into his God self, to transform his energy body into pure light, and to perform his final miracle, which was to go into the underworld and lay a path of light for all beings to follow. And it was their work together through sacred sexuality that was allowing this to happen, transforming him. And as I read this book, I not only completely resonated with everything that she was saying, but I started to have incredible memories come up of everything that she was describing. And she goes on in the book to, in very simple, basic form, to describe the kind of practice they were engaging. And I, as I read it, I immediately had it come alive in me, and the full practice, and I was able to do it instantly.
This was the sex magic of Isis?
Yes.
Wow.
And what I realized by the end of this book was that I had been a priestess of Isis, and I had been practicing this, and that I remembered, I not only remembered being a priestess of Isis, but I remembered knowing Mary Magdalene and being close to her, and that I was part of that temple structure. And so that was a major turning point.
Sorry, Mercedes. Are these practices in your book? Do you
these
talk about them at all?
Mary Magdalene referred to them in the book. She talks about how she was a priestess of Isis, that she was practicing this. She talks about the function of sacred sexuality. But what was clear to me, she doesn't exactly say this in the book, but it was very clear to me, was that she felt like people weren't ready to hear this yet, that people needed the foundation of this book. And this book is about mm-hmm. opening to the sacred feminine, and specifically what you need to open your heart. And that on that foundation, then people could go on to learn these higher practices. So she's made it clear that that's the next book. But that this one really needed to come first.
Well, you know, it's amazing because here we are having this conversation, and I'm totally in agreement with everything you're saying. And, you know, just 30 years ago, I mean, you would have been, you know, held in blasphemy by the church. But now, in spiritual communities worldwide, almost everybody is in absolute agreement that Mary Magdalene and Yahweh were tantric practitioners, and, you know, went to the temples and the mystery schools and learned all these things and achieved enlightenment through sacred sexuality. I mean, I think everybody believes that, and I think that's why you know, she's been suppressed for so long, but she's so much more in people's awareness now. Because, I mean, if Jesus was such a great guy, it seems like people would say, well, why did he love this woman so much? I mean, you know?
Right.
She had to have been pretty special.
One of the things that they say, that she says in her book, the book that I received, was that both she and Yeshua knew that it was going to be 2,000 years before the world was ready to receive her as a spiritual teacher, a leader, and to receive her message about the divine feminine. So
wow.
You're right, 30 years ago, this couldn't have happened.
So you talked about the praxis. What did she tell you are the results of these kinds of practices?
The results of the sex magic of Isis practices.
Uh-huh. Which sounds, I mean, I just can't wait to your next book. I want to know these practices.
Well, one of the things that Mary talks about is that there are really only two functions of sexuality, she says, mm-hmm. and they're both creative. They're both a birth process. The first is that you create a child, a new being, and you give birth to another human. The second function, from her point of view, of sexuality is to give birth to your spiritual self. And
that's so beautiful.
These, yes, isn't that?
That's really
so
beautiful.
These practices are very profound spiritual practices for transforming you into your greater spiritual self. And that really is the purpose of them. And she says that sexuality, aside from that, well, from her point of view, that's what you should be engaging sexuality, and that's the true purpose of Tantra. It's a spiritually transformative practice.
Wow, so it's not about domination or control or aggressiveness or acting out your hostilities, huh? Wow. It's about love.
Not
birth,
in the least.
Giving birth to, so you said giving birth to your spiritual self, or how did
yes.
you phrase that again?
Giving
That's
birth
so beautiful.
To
I've never heard anything like that before.
Yes, birthing your greater spiritual self. And as anyone who practices Tantra knows, there's wonderful benefits to Tantra beyond that. There's benefits to, you know, your relationship, to deepening intimacy and closeness in your relationship. It's an extremely pleasurable practice, which from the divine feminine point of view, pleasure is a sign that you're aligned to God. So that makes sense. But, you know, there's wonderful joy and ecstatic experiences, you know, that you can have through Tantra, that it can be a profoundly healing process and practice. So there are all sorts of benefits to it. But from her point of view, those are secondary. And the primary one is your spiritual growth.
This sounds like an amazing book. Now, you alluded to when Mary Magdalene started communicating with you, but could you elaborate? And also how you knew it was her, if she, you know, and in your initial reaction to the first time. I mean, that's, you know, you wake up one morning and Mary Magdalene's talking to you. I mean, come on. I mean, you know?
Yes.
That's
yes.
like one of the great, and we don't know much about great women in history, world history, because, you know, men was doing all the, writing all the books, but this is one of the great beings who's ever lived on this planet.
Right, absolutely. Well, she communicated to me telepathically who she was. And she says at the beginning, this is Mary Magdalene. But she also, you know, which I'm familiar with telepathic communication. I understand what that is. And because the words coming through were very different from my words and the energy was very different from my energy, I trusted it. I believed it. And I believed mm-hmm. that she was who she was. It was aligned to everything that I knew, which wasn't that much about Mary Magdalene, but it seemed very real to me. And I even ran it by a few friends, and I said, does this sound like me? Do you think this is just me talking? Am I just making this up? And they listened to it, and they said, no, this doesn't sound like you.
That's really funny. You're funny. That's great.
I didn't take anything for granted.
Well, that's very humble. I guess she chose you because of your wonderful humility and purity of heart.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think there were a number of reasons why she chose me. I have skills that were necessary for this because I have written before and I'm a teacher, have taught things. And so I had kind of the right job qualifications for what she was looking for. But I also think that that I've been with Mary for many, many lifetimes. And I didn't realize it until after,
right.
you know, all of this started to unfold. But I really believe that now. And I believe that I was prepared for this by, you know, virtually everything I've done in my life without having any idea that that's what this was leading to.
Did any issues of worth come up? Like, you know, I mean, did you think, oh, no, I'm not worthy of this, or possibly pride? I just wondered if either of those, you know, feelings became an issue for you.
I don't feel like pride has ever been a hardship for me or my personal mm-hmm. challenge. I'm much more in the camp of being a self-doubter. And it was actually one of the first things he addressed with me was my doubt and telling me not to doubt. And she came back to it several times over the course of the communications and fundamentally saying that doubting myself is doubting God and that wasn't supporting me or anyone else for me to be doing this. But I still had, you know, fear come up. I had fear when I first started telling people that I was channeling Mary Magdalene because I thought the response was going to be, you're crazy. But mm-hmm. why in the world would Mary Magdalene talk to you?
mm-hmm.
And I was really surprised, and part of this probably is being in Santa Fe, but when I started telling people that I was channeling Mary Magdalene, I got none of that. I've never had that kind of response where people mm-hmm. have challenged me or, you know, suggested that it wasn't so or whatever. What did happen that I was completely surprised about was when I would say the name Mary Magdalene, the response I got from people was so amazing. I just watched, and it looked like they would light up, and the doors to their heart would just fly open. And at that point, I don't think they even cared about me. They just wanted to hear about Mary.
mm-hmm.
And when I would tell people, you know, what she was communicating or read something to them, they were just always so moved and grateful. And so I got even more validation from that and stopped worrying about me and realized this isn't about me. This is about Mary.
That's really amazing. What were some of her messages about?
Well, the primary thing that she wanted to talk about was about incarnating the divine feminine. She is very clear that she feels like at this particular moment in our history, in our progression, our spiritual evolution, that this is what is the piece that's most important for all of us, men and women alike. And what's different about Mary that I so much love about her is she's so practical and grounded. And where, mm-hmm. you know, many people are talking about the divine feminine. I think it's a concept that many people are hearing and we're familiar with. But if you ask people, well, what does that mean? What is the divine feminine? Or how do you incarnate the divine feminine? People don't know so much. It's just sort of mm-hmm. a general sense that we have that this is what's important, but how to go beyond that, I think there's a lot of questions. But Mary was just so practical about it, and she focused in on three specific areas that create the foundation for the divine feminine. She said the first is our relationship with our body, the second is our relationship with sexuality, and the third is our relationship with our emotions. And over the course of the talk, she talked about all three of those. First, she addressed our relationship with our body. And she didn't say too much about that, and I think the reason is she realizes there's lots of information out there already. If people feel like they need to change their relationship with their body, there's so many resources. The main thing that she focused on was shame, and talked about that we need to heal shame that we have relative mm-hmm. to our bodies and how we feel about our bodies. The second arena relative to sexuality was where she started to introduce that sexuality is sacred, that it's a spiritually based practice, and that it's important. And she did tell about herself and about her life, but it was very measured. And part of it, I think, was because she was waiting until later to give the bulk of the information. But she definitely gave, you know, important pieces, and I've heard that from people who are reading, that they feel very helped by what she said about sexuality. I think for a lot of people, this is new information. But the primary thing that she really got into was talking about our relationship with our emotions and saying that the purpose of emotions are that our emotions are meant to take us to God. And in particular, pain is an avenue for opening ourselves to God. not that she's recommending that we have to pursue pain or that it's, you know, it's not, she's not telling anyone to be a martyr by any means, but she's saying pain is part of our human experience. And we have not learned how to relate to it in the way that really supports us. And as a matter of fact, most of us have learned ways of relating to our emotions and pain in ways that are interfering with our spiritual growth. We've learned to suppress our emotions, or else we've learned to act them out in ways that aren't supporting us or other people. We're not really using them to go deep and let them lead us to God. And so that was the primary thing that she's working with in the book. And she really clarified that she feels like this is the piece, the emotional piece that most people are missing and don't understand. And even in the spiritual world, even in the New Age spiritual community, most people are still very confused about their emotions and how to relate to emotions. And the idea of linking emotions and that being a pathway to God, I think, is pretty new for most people.
Can you elaborate to what she said about pain specifically?
Yes, I can. She actually leads a step-by-step process. She says the first process is noticing that you're in pain. And while that might seem really obvious, the fact is that for many of us, we have so many defense mechanisms built in against our feeling pain that we've learned along the way in our lives that a lot of times we don't realize we're in pain. We're immediately acting out in some way or suppressing it in some way without really having the clear consciousness, I'm in pain right now. So that's the first step, is awareness, noticing you're in pain. The second step is to embrace it, to allow yourself to fully merge with the pain. And because of the training, the education and learning about emotions that most of us have, for most of us that's counterintuitive. When we're in pain, our impulse is to get out of it, however we do that. And there are many different styles and techniques that we've, you know, learned throughout our lifetime, but this is to let yourself go into it. And that's part of it being a very feminine process. It's really to open and to surrender to your pain. And she says that there's two aspects to this. The first is just feeling the feelings themselves, and there's actually kind of two different ways of going about it. The simple form is just to let yourself open to the feelings, to feel them, and then ask God to direct you. That's the really simple way. It may not be easy, simple, easy, not always the same, but direct and simple. The second path, she said, is to connect your feelings that you're having, your emotions, to their deeper source. And she calls these our inner divine qualities. So let me see if I can think of an example here, because I think the easiest way to explain this is through an example. Let's say you just broke up with a partner you were with, and you're feeling, you know, you're feeling sad, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling scared about, you know, all these different feelings. And she says to open to these feelings, and usually there will be one feeling or one or two feelings that are especially the strongest. So let's say you're just having so much pain, and because you've broken up with your partner. And she says underneath that will be some beautiful quality that is you're not being fulfilled in this moment. And in this case, this is kind of obvious, but it might be love, you know, that you're wanting love in your life and you just lost the person who you thought you had that with. And so your pain is really sourcing out of your this quality within you that's longing for love. And it could be other things. Every person is unique and every situation is unique. So it could be, you know, you have to find out for each situation what it was. But let's say in this case it was love. So she says the process is to let your emotion lead you by embracing it, relaxing into it, letting it lead you to this deeper quality that it's emanating out of. So in this case, if it's emanating out of love, what you do is you, at that point when you identify what it is, you shift into that and you just really let yourself feel how much you want love, how important love is to you, how much you value love. And what happens when you do that is you connect with the pure quality of, in this case, love within, that's always mm-hmm. with you. Listening to me explain this, you may not think that this makes sense, but in my experience, it works exactly like this, is that when you shift from the emotion to that underlying pure quality, you shift from a sense of lack or deficiency to a sense of wholeness. And when you connect with that pure quality of love within, you connect with the pure quality of love, which you know, as a human being, you know it. It's why we long for it, because it's something that lives in us, and we know it. And when you really allow yourself to go into it, a shift happens, and usually it's a shift into peace. You suddenly become peaceful because you've connected with this deeper quality that's so valuable to you. And what she says is that when we have these painful emotions come up, it's not the outer event that is causing the pain. What's causing our pain is our inner disconnection from that pure quality, and that ultimately that is being disconnected from God. And so when we reconnect with it through our emotions and we re-enter this state of peace, we have reconnected with God. Hmm. And that is a state of blessedness. And then she said, wow. From there, it's the same as the earlier process. Now you're reconnected with God, you're back in union, and you'll be guided what you need to do.
Well, that sounds really amazing. I really can't wait to read your book. Now, we just have about 5 more minutes, Mercedes, so I wanted to ask you, what is it like for you when you receive a communication from Mary Magdalene?
It's exquisite. Because I not only receive her words, I receive even more than her words, I receive her energy. It's a direct transmission of her state. And I'm carried into that, and it is very, very beautiful. And from what I've experienced and what I've heard from people when they're with me, when I actually channel, because I do meditation groups, I do private sessions for people, and they tell me they feel the same thing, that they can feel that state and that energy. I believe that it's also available through her words and through the book, and that I, you know, through reading her words in the book, people will also receive that. And that is part of the gift. And that's always been the case, that they're, you know, with spiritual leaders, spiritual realizers, that there's a direct transmission of their realization just through their energy. And I experienced this. I think the great gift with Mary Magdalene is that I get the feeling of what it's like to be in the divine feminine in such an exalted state. And it's extremely blissful, and it's also direct instruction to me about what I can grow into in terms of that same realization of incarnating the divine feminine.
Do you have any kind of fear that one day she may not, you know, she may leave you and be complete, you know, that you may be complete as her vessel for this information? Do you ever think about that? Or
when I was finishing the book and the last 3 communications, I definitely felt her winding down. And actually, the 23rd and 24th ones were very sweet and very intimate. It was almost like she was like, phew, okay, I said what I need to say. Now we can just be woman to woman together. And she opened up about her own life. The next to the last one was about sexuality again. And they're very beautiful. But I definitely could sense that she was completing and it was winding down. And I started to feel really sad. And also some sense of, you know, anxiety. This might be the end. I might lose this exquisite connection. I learned that I didn't lose it at all, that any time that I want to communicate with her, she's available to me. And that was part of the gift for me of this whole process, was I opened up to being able to call upon her or others in a way I never had before. It was new for me. So I don't feel that concern at all anymore.
Well, this has been very enlightening. You're quite a lovely speaker. So how can people get a copy of Mary Magdalene Beckens' Join the River of Love?
Oh, thank you, Wendy. Well, right now it's available through the website, which is marymagdalenebeckens.com, and it is also available through Amazon. In October, it will be available through bookstores also, and if your local bookstore isn't carrying it, you can request it and they can get it for you. And my invocation is that all the people who have a connection with Mary now or who will have one soon, that they find their way to this book and that it blesses them the way it's blessed me and so many others.
Yeah, I personally want to really check it out, honestly. And, you know, I'm a man. I love men. But I'm kind of done with male teachers for a while. I think I'd like to check out what Mary has to say. So can people also contact you through marymagdalenebeckens.com to learn about private sessions and your channeling groups and these kind of things happening in Santa Fe and possibly abroad?
Yes. There's on the website, one of the tabs, the menu options is author services. And if you click on that, it tells all about me and what I'm offering.
Now, isn't there something happening around Mary Magdalene in Europe right now? A big festival or something going on?
I know there's a festival at the end of May in the south of France. And
I'm hoping
that next year I will be there. I would like to lead a group of people there. I think that would be so wonderful. But it's a festival that's a gypsy festival, actually, that is at St. Marie de la Mer, which is supposedly where she landed when she came to the south of France. And I've heard it's just a wonderful gathering. So stay tuned. Maybe I'll be there too and we can all connect there.
Well, south of France and Mary Magdalene, kind of a tough combination to beat. So Mercedes, this is you've just been, you know, I don't know how the listeners feel, but this has been, it's just been very soothing to my heart to speak with you and listen to you tonight. You've been you just have a very eloquent and gentle way of speaking, and you're very assuring, and I really can't wait to read your book, and I'm going to promote it. I'm going to, you know, I will put a link to the interview tomorrow. I'll send it to you, but also on Facebook, as well as your book, because I know women especially, men will come around, but women particularly really resonate with this Mary Magdalene wisdom. So it'd be nice to get it out there in a big way.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support.
Yeah, is there anything that you'd like to say to the audience before you say goodbye?
I'm just so happy to have this opportunity to share my story and to share about Mary. And this has really become my life work. This is my mission now, is to do everything I can to support her teaching, getting out to people, because I absolutely believe there's so much help that she's offering and that she is really focusing in on the essential elements that are going to make a difference for us in terms of letting us really move forward.
Well, from your lips to God's ears. So thank you so much for you know, being on the show and spending some time with me, and I know you pulled yourself away from a group, so thank you so much. It was really nice to meet
you. Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Okay. Until we meet again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was, let's see, I want to make sure I get her name right, Mercedes Kirkle. So Mercedes Kirkle, and the website is, I hope I'm not butchering your name, Mercedes. I apologize if I am. www.marymagdalenebeckens.com. So check out this book. It sounds amazing. I mean, come on. you know, channeled by Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene beckons, join the river of love. Also, you can contact Mercedes and get private channeling sessions. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of controversy on channels, and there's some good ones and some bad ones, but, you know, when they're good, they're really great. And there's, you know, don't forget, we can never forget that Conversations of God was a channeled book, Course in Miracles, Human Design, Spiritual System was all channeled. So it's for real. I mean, some people can get out of the way enough, and she sounds like a lady, very pure of heart, very humble, that Spirit would definitely communicate through. I mean, I'm sure you all picked up on that as I did. So just very gentle and peaceful and not self-promotional, not an arrogant soul in her body. So, you know, a really perfect vessel to that Spirit would speak through. And in this case, Mary Magdalene. So check out the book one more time. Mary Magdalene beckons, join the river of love. So that was fabulous. I so love all the guests that come on. And I didn't know her from Adam. You know, she contacted me, and I mean, she just, there's been some great guests, but as far as just pure sweetness, you know, I just, it makes me want to know more about her. And you know, whatever she's drinking, I want to taste some. So I hope it resonated with you as it did with me. Next week, we have Dr. Lexi Fisher, who's a Tantra teacher and a well-known workshop facilitator all over the world, very, very world-renowned and quite a wonderful lady, too, you know. It's just amazing. I think I said this to Lexi. It's like all the people on the show are, you know, they're very sweet and they're serious. They're really trying to bring tools to make people happy, for people to connect with their joy, to connect with Spirit, and to connect with a deeper purpose. So I feel very blessed that these people, such as Mercedes, took the time to be on the show. I mean, you know, for me, you know, it's just a little humble internet radio show, and yet these people who are really shapeshifters, who are really, really doing serious work on this planet, come on and pour out their hearts, and you listen to them and go, wow. Wow, life is really good. There is so much beauty in this world. So what does all this have to do with God? Well, quite simply, we are all God's children, none loved any less or any more. The whole point of life is to open to whatever is alive in us and gift the world with our unique expression. Tonight you heard one version of that, and there are as many versions as there are colors in the rainbow. You heard Mercedes say, I mean, there she was, living blissfully in Hawaii, the Big Island. And yet she listened. She listened. This is a lady who knows how to listen and be still and access Spirit. So she listened and she followed. And look what's speaking through her now. So it's remarkable. I think if we listen, God will tell us everything we want to know and lead us everywhere we need to be. You know, that which dreamed us wants us to have our dream. The God I know does not judge, but it's about unbridled expression. You can do or be anything you want. The only limits to the human potential are those that exist in your own mind. Do you want to serve self or a higher purpose? The choice is yours. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for us all on the Big Island or maybe in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So until next time, be grateful. Be grateful for all your blessings. Yet, always be mindful of those who are less fortunate. Help whenever you can. Do anything to help another person. A day without helping another is a day unlived. So until next time, may you give away and collect smiles everywhere you go. May your kindness bring tears of joy to every person you meet. May you love so much that you become love. And most of all, may your heart be ever pure and your face always to God. I really believe those words. You know, in the end, you know, let us aspire to be, when people reflect on us years from now, long after we're gone, let them say that Mercedes or Rundy, it's like, man, did they love God. Or, wow, were they kind. They were just so kind. How different would the world be if we all aspire to these kind of things? So, forgive me for moralizing, but I just, I'm the eternal optimist. I still believe in heaven and earth. So, until next time, this is Rundy Duffney sending you a big wave of love. Good night.